Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yar, welcome to the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney here bringing you an exclusive podcast on Sea of Thieves. That's all coming up in the next 45 minutes. And I can't do this voice any longer, so everything's coming up right now.
All right, so thanks for joining us today, guys. We're joined by the usuals, knit and gritty jack of all trades of gaming, Will.
How's it going, everyone?
And the brick shit house has recovered from his illness, and he's rejoined us.
How's it going, VGN fans?
And we have a new member to the team today, so happy to announce his name is Brooks. He's going to be our journalist editorial type, so he's bringing all the news. All the time. Hello, Brooks.
Hello, everyone.
All right, guys. So we all got a chance to play Sea of Thieves. I was really excited to start playing it. Will and I played the alpha, and then he couldn't get on the beta, but I played the beta. Mark, we just gave him his Xbox today, and we're like, here, bud, like play Sea of Thieves.
Dude, it was awesome. Got it today, set it up, had a random name, so I am Absurd Jeans 2021. Look for me on Xbox Live.
Did you just make that up on the spot? You just like opened up Google and like name generator?
No, dude. I was trying to set it all up quickly, you know, like half asleep still. And then I didn't see where the part was like pick your online name, and it just randomized one. And so it's Absurd Jeans.
Yeah, he literally, I was like, I need to add you still. And he basically passed, he's like, oh, no, add this, which I'm not going to say because it's his actual last name. That didn't work out. So I was like, oh, add me. If you want to add me on Xbox Live, that is Demon Pain, DemonPain. But basically he added me and I couldn't stop howling when I had his Xbox tag just pop up.
Yeah, but Mark, you played the game, and now you're I guess new to Xbox. So, what were your thoughts on the game so far?
So far so good. It takes a little bit to get used to. I guess you have your left trigger where you got your compass and you got your shovel and all that, and then you have your right trigger for like your quest maps and whatever else you can put in there. At this point, I'm not too sure, but so far so good. The graphics look amazing.
Yeah, and Brooks, what about you? You haven't had too much hands-on time with the game, but what were your first initial thoughts?
Well, it was my first time ever playing this game, and I've been waiting this game for a long time since they first announced it a couple years back. And the first thing I want to say is thank God we finally have a solid exclusive for the Xbox One. It's been far too long, and people were starting to lose interest, especially after Scalebound was canceled, and then Crackdown 3 got pushed into next year. It was looking pretty desperate, so I want to say I'm really happy Microsoft got this game out. First impressions, it's good. It looks great. It reminds me of those Borderlands, Killer 7 kind of cel-shaded games and that I love growing up. I absolutely love the aesthetic. The water looks amazing. And overall, it's just a fun game to play with your friends. But, you know, I'll have to see where it goes. I need more time to play it, so, yeah.
Alrighty then. I probably played the most out of probably anybody here, but I'm really enjoying the game. I played it for a couple hours, more like 4 hours today with Cole, who joined us last week for the Smash Brothers podcast. We had a lot of fun. We went on the two-man sloop, and we went around and we got a couple treasure chests, a couple skulls, all that kind of stuff. And we were heading back to the outpost to cash it in, and this galleon came around the corner, and we're like, oh yeah, we're gonna get wrecked now. But the sloop's really great because you can outmaneuver everybody. It's way faster, way more maneuverable, and yeah, we just outmaneuvered them, shot them under the water line, and they sank, and then we killed all the guys and took all their treasure. It was great.
You guys actually took them out in the sloop?
Yeah, like I said, it's just a lot more maneuverable and all that.
That's essentially 4v2, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I just wanted to, for people out there who might be wondering, this is not a fully open world game. How it works is it phases in players into your lobby. So if you're expecting a big MMO type experience, that's not what this is. It's sort of, it's a very decent sized map, but it's not fully MMO. So you might run into another ship where you might be going about your day and not see anybody, but don't expect it to be like World of Warcraft where there's ships everywhere and there's hundreds of players in the hub area and that sort of thing. It's not the experience this game's trying to go for.
I feel like it has just the right amount of players per server. It's not like a complete, like, you're not going out there and there's like 16 ships and you're like, oh, I'm in a little sloop, I'm gonna get like slaughtered, right? It's the perfect amount of people.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think if you had as many players as like a normal MMO, it would just take it away, because the map itself is not as big as people, I guess, are led to believe. It's good enough for a small server. So running into a ship maybe every hour or something like that is way better and more realistic than running into a ship like every 5 minutes and making you fight for your life and repair your ship and try not to scuttle it to the bottom of the ocean.
I'm going to say the map itself actually reminds me of Zelda The Wind Waker, if anyone played that game, where it's like there's no big huge landmass, but there's little speckled islands around, and I love that game. I don't know about you guys, but just sailing around the open seas and stuff brings me back.
It's like pretty much the same engine or graphics that you were talking about, right? Cell shaded. I really like that too. It looks really nice.
And it even reminded me of the Black Flag, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, quite a bit. Mind you, I like Black Flag's combat just a little bit more because there's a little bit more to offer in terms of like chase cannons and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, Sea of Thieves does an excellent job with the combat.
Now, I want to bring up something a little bit and kind of get your thoughts here. With Sea of Thieves being more cartoonish and not really level-based, it's all just cosmetic. With you bringing up Black Flag, what are your guys' thoughts as well? Do you think their next game, which is coming out this year, Black Sails or Skull and Bones, do you think that's their answer to Sea of Thieves? More realistic, but actually level-based?
I think so. Personally, I think yes, because the pirate genre has been kind of one that's been not really prevalent for a long time, and it's been at the back of people's minds. I think Sea of Thieves, especially with a big company like Rare bringing it back in the forefront, I think that's what got Ubisoft's attention. And everyone knows the best part about Black Flag was the naval combat, and then, you know, the exploratory elements of it where you could just, you know, come across an island and then hop off the boat, go for a swim, and go see what's on the island. That's sort of what Sea of Thieves is going for. And it's really open-ended exploration. Like, the whole game is completely open-ended. Like, you literally spawn in a pub. There's no mini-map. There's no guide or direction. It doesn't really hold your hand. You kind of just have to figure it out on your own. So there's potential to have a ton of fun with your friends and that sort of thing. And, yeah.
I kind of got the feeling they could have done, like, well, and bear in mind, I've only played for maybe an hour, but in that hour, I've done most of everything you can do. So I was built up to think, oh, this is going to be crazy. There's going to be so much you can do. But it's I don't know. I almost think they could have. It is super fun, but I almost think they could have done more.
Well, I mean, they made it so that you can make your own adventure the way you want it, kind of. Like, they didn't make it super linear like you would expect most games like this to be. For example, like, you know... Cole and I went out this morning and we're like, oh, let's just go hunt for some gold. And then we came across those guys and got all their treasure. Like, you know, like experiences like that change every time you play the game. It's not the same every time.
And I was just going to say that the open-ended nature of the game kind of lets you play the way you want to play and do what you want. And it really doesn't half-ass it like some open-world games that just give you this massive, huge open world and then just dot the map with collectibles and little boring side quests and that sort of thing. I mean, it's literally open to do whatever you want. You don't have to go to an island ever if you don't want to. You just do what you want with your friends.
Yeah, I completely agree. I also really like how they don't have level systems. Like, you can't be better than anyone else you're going to find. I think that's what makes the game more fun and easier to jump into. If any of you have played like MMOs and stuff like that, for a game like this, it just wouldn't work. Could you imagine running into a guy that's been playing maybe 100 hours to your 10? Like, the level system for that just, it would be broken.
Well, not only the players, but the ships too. They'd upgrade the ships to the point where they're basically unsinkable. And you know, then it's a four-person crew and two people jump off that ship, raid your basically kill you, take your ship, and then, yeah. So it just would work, right?
I think that's a good segue to talk about microtransactions and sort of what the plan they're talking about going with this game. And basically, I have a quote here from the executive producer, Joe Neat. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. And he says, "We thought about it long and hard, what's right for our game experience. And the key thing we think is that it had to be fun, and it had to add to the fun, social nature of the game. So anything in this area will not impact power or progression, and you'll always know what you're getting into. So that means no loot crates." And I think he wanted to emphasize no loot crates, because in a game like that, if you could pay money on a loot crate and then get some crazy sails on your ship and some crazy cannons, it would totally break the balance of the game. So they've been very clear saying we're not going to add any microtransactions that are going to unbalance our game, because that's how you end up with something like The Division or Destiny, where it becomes, or even Battlefront, for example, where it's a total pay-to-win dynamic, and that's not what the fans want.
I'm so happy that you just like ragged on Destiny, because we've been ragging on Destiny the whole time. I'm glad we have a brother that shares the same
page.
Pattern.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, is there anything inside the game that you guys are looking forward to explore since you haven't played it so much?
I haven't seen it yet. I've only gotten to play now maybe an hour and a half today. I'm hoping I can get some more maybe after we record tonight and the rest of the weekend before we're back on a full work week and there's another 90 hour work. Just not enough time for video games. But yeah, I really want to find this Kraken. The trailer just really, that's what struck out to me.
That's one of the things that I was going to touch on as well. Where is the big world events? Where's the Kraken? Because at the end of the trailer, the gameplay demo that they were showing, the Kraken came and then everything went to crap for them. So these open world, they're calling them world events, are really interesting, because that was the, I hate to go back to Destiny so much, guys, but the one thing I did like about Destiny was the big open world events where other people would phase in and then you'd come together to take down a boss. So if I'm sailing and then I see another galleon fighting the Kraken, I might just not be so inclined to just shoot everybody on sight. I might actually want to team up with these guys and help kill the Kraken together. So, you know, that kind of thing works really well in MMO-like games like World of Warcraft and Destiny again. So where's the Kraken? That's what I want to know.
And not even just the Kraken. Like, I read somewhere that they were actually going to keep implementing world events like this into the game, which is really good, and it's going to keep people engaged, and it's going to give people like Mark, somebody, who more to the game that they actually want other than what they've played already.
That's good news there. So how big is this actual map? Because when I first looked at it, there was a big island and there was a few specks around.
It would probably take you 50 minutes maybe to sail the whole, like from end to end or more, at 20, 25, something like that. So it's a bigger map. I'm not sure if every server has a randomly generated where all the islands go or something like that. What do you think, Will?
I think it is randomly generated, because I remember on the alpha, the island placement changed. I've only gotten to play once today, and for what we did, nothing really changed. I'll see where the island placement is when I sign in later, but I think making it randomly generated makes it easier. No one's not always going to know where the islands are, so you actually do have to use the navigation system.
Right, yeah. It's kind of similar to the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon series, where they have randomly generated floors for every floor you go onto.
It was pretty fun though when we all teamed up and we were on the ship, man. There's a lot to the sailing too, just with the wind and having to like raise in half the sail as you're going around, and then, like, that must play a huge part into combat too.
Oh, and this just in, actually, it's not randomly generated. We just looked it up. It's not randomly generated.
It's not procedurally generated in the way that Minecraft is, so it will be, everything will be fleshed out and detailed, but I just found out here on Gaming Bolt that they're saying that they want to increase player count, so what they're going to do is they're going to tack on the map and expand the map size and add islands and add outposts and bases and that sort of thing to flush it out more. But the one thing is that even though those procedurally generated maps can be fun, they can be really empty, too.
Okay, because that's what I kind of... I mean, like I said, again, only played for about an hour. Went to a few different outposts, a few different islands. I found one of the bigger islands we were on was quite small. And we, like, just ran, grabbed a few treasures, hopped back on our boat. And I'm like, I wanted more. Because it is an awesome game, but I'm glad they're going to do more.
Yeah, personally, I think they could add a lot to the game. As Brooks was saying here, if they're going to add to the game so they can make more player count increase, I'm really wondering what type of DLC could they include in this game. We've talked about like world events. Like, could you imagine maybe fighting like a ghost pirate ship or something later on as like a boss fight?
So it's basically like copy paste the Wind Waker because you fought a ghost ship in the Wind Waker. DLC, I think will. I'm trying to think what they're going to do. Obviously, they're going to add more story elements and stuff to the game, but kind of touching again on loot boxes and microtransactions and stuff, because you can buy all this stuff in the game with the in-game currency, but they're not asking for real money for it or whatever. You go out and get the chests and whatever. You kind of customize the character how you want, but it doesn't really increase the damage or anything for any of the weapons or make anything better. It's just this exact same as the stock item that you get at the beginning of the game. Go ahead.
I do believe there is a few slight changes because as you have, I guess, the flintlock, which is medium, normal, it's your everyday weapon. Then you have your blunderbuss. Blunderbuss is way better for close range. And then I guess you have your rifle or sniper or whatever. That is your long range weapon. Now, I guess it's more of how you play the game than having different damage output.
And I just want to go back to the upgrades themselves. I looked at some of those upgrades for the ship, like changing your sails to black or red or that sort of thing. It is extremely expensive with the in-game currency to buy anything. So if you want to get some cool ship upgrades, expect a hell of a grind.
Yeah, and, you know, it's fine keeping everything with the same damage output because then when you fight people in the PvP world, it's extremely balanced and it's only relying on your skills as a game player to take them down, but when it comes to the PvE portion of the game, it's a little bit more challenging because Cole and I went and did one of the Skull Cloud bases or whatever, and we found it extremely difficult with just two of us. We were dying basically to three skeletons. We're taking out three skeletons and they would just instantly kill us, and we were getting really, really frustrated with it. So I think they should maybe add something in to help spread the damage out more evenly with the PvE portion of the Sea of Thieves.
And the thing about that is that the developers, it's clear that the skeleton forts are designed for four players, and that leads me to another thing that I'm kind of old school in the sense that I like single player games. I like story mode. Sea of Thieves has no offline mode. It has no single player story, anything like that. You have to play online all the time. So for people like me who grew up playing long-winded games, long single-player structure, stuff like Final Fantasy and those kind of games, not having that feels like it's really lacking something.
And that's where I totally agree with that point. That's what I was trying to get at, too, is, I mean, it's great. It's a great online game, but it just leaves you wanting more. And like you were saying, if it's going to be an all-online game, you got to sprinkle in a lot of stuff. And especially when it's like a sandbox map, you got to have more content, more things to do.
And one of the other cons, it does seem very repetitive. Like the general gameplay loop in that game is to, you get on the ship, you go, you find some treasure, you bring the treasure back, and you turn it in. And then you go do the same thing, but instead of a treasure chest, it's a chicken coop. Or it's go here and kill this skeleton. There doesn't seem to be enough variety for a game with a $70 price tag. We live in Canada. Games are more expensive here. But, a game like... I mean, this game should more appropriately be around $30, $40. I don't want to not give the developers credit where credit's due. But it's a big open world, and it doesn't feel like there's enough going on to really justify the AAA price tag. So that's another... It's very repetitive.
Yeah, I completely agree. With a $79 price tag, you can't really ask for what they're giving you. It's just not enough. The only way Microsoft's going to succeed right now with Sea of Thieves is by Game Pass. You pay your $14 a month and you have access to Sea of Thieves as long as you keep playing. But I don't think most people are going to go out and pick up an $80 game. Or if they are, this is a game that is going to be traded in very shortly.
That's what I was. I mentioned off the air is this kind of feels like a flavor of the month so far. I mean, great game, but for how long is it going to last? I mean, they definitely do have to put out some content within the first few months to, you know, keep the gamers interested.
Well, I'm going to kind of come to its defense here for a little bit. I mean, if you look at a game like Fortnite, that felt like a flavor of the month game when it first came out, and it's kind of repetitive too. You jump in, it's the same thing every game, but it's not at the same time, right? You create your own experience and you're striving to win the game, which I think this game can also do.
Yeah, but with Fortnite, it's you're completely right, but it's different. It's a different feel. It's hard to explain it. I can't explain it, but with Fortnite, it's different. So you will put up with that repetitiveness because you're addicted to it. Whereas this is like, I don't know.
I think the open-ended nature of Sea of Thieves is both a blessing and a curse. I think because you can do whatever you want, but that's the thing. You have to be very imaginative, and you have to have a group of three other friends to play with you to have fun. I feel like if you played this game on your own, it would get very lonely very quickly, doing everything yourself, this big open world. You know, it's kind of like designed to have fun and joke around with your friends. It kind of fits the zany, silly personality that the game's trying to portray.
All right, guys, so do you have any interesting stories that has happened throughout the world of Sea of Thieves in your playthroughs? I know you guys have, time has been quite short, but Will, I'm sure you're going to share an alpha story.
Yeah, I kind of want to bring up something from the alpha, and maybe you can shed some light on it. We talked about this previously, but Rodney and I got stuck in a capsized boat.
Shipwreck.
Yeah, a shipwreck. And we were in the shipwreck for like 15 minutes. We couldn't jump out. Now, have you attempted to see if this is fixed?
No, because I learned from my mistakes, and I don't just willingly jump into the front of a shipwreck anymore, but there's a couple things that I've noticed dramatically change between the alpha and the beta and the final game, and that was, first of all, the movement speed of your actual character. Like, I felt you were just hauling ass in the beta, like, just, you know, but yeah, in the final game, you move at a regular person pace, I guess, if that makes any sense. And the other bit is the combat was definitely tightened up, because in the alpha and the beta, it was really, really loose. I mean, the sword, even now in the final game, is still kind of loosey-goosey, but the gunplay has definitely been tightened up. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I remember slashing at skeletons and literally them just, like, hitting me for, like, all the damage, and my sword, I guess, like, bouncing through them or just, like, bouncing off. No, you can't hurt me. Don't even think about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they still, like, kill you in one shot.
One little weird thing I noticed is that I shot a skeleton in the face of the blunderbuss and it died instantly, but a cobra took 3 shots, so I'm not sure what the deal with that was.
Let's talk about that character selection, too. I liked them. I thought, I was, like, going through, scrolling through which pirate you could be, and I picked, like, the fattest one with, like, this like, gray mustache, and I mean, I thought the characters and the graphics looked great.
The best part is, like, there's nobody in the world that looks like those characters. So, like, because normally, most of the time when people play, like, MMOs or something, they'll make their character look like them. But you can't really do that in this game because they all look completely disproportionate and all that.
I do like how the randomize for the character selection works. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the first set that you get, if you press the right trigger, you can get more characters to choose from. Mark didn't know that. He picked the first guy, and I was like, oh, there's more. And he's like, oh, how do I go back? I was like, oh, you can't.
Yeah, I didn't know that either, actually.
I was going to say, I think that kind of reflects, I don't want to go back to the series topics, but it does reflect a little bit of style over substance. And that seems to be, I guess, the general feeling I get from this game is it's really great to look at. It's really fun when you have 3 other friends that you guys know well and you can communicate. And it seems to really shine when you're sailing the ship around, goofing around, trying to avoid rocks. You know, there's a pirate on a rock over there, starboard side. Like, that's when the game really shines. But when you get on the island, and you start working and you find out the general gameplay loop, it seems to, I don't know, just feels a little boring.
Has there been any like DLC, or has there been an announcement or anything they're going to add yet? Or?
Well, I've read, and it was in our top 10 video as well, and they said that after 3 months, they're basically going to do this big update. Based upon like player feedback, they're going to add things in, they're going to add in some story stuff, and like they're basically saying, hey, buy our AAA game, wink wink, and then we'll put some AAA stuff in there later.
Okay, so there's hope for this game then, because they're going to take that long list of cons and they'll fix it.
I mean, they even talked about because of the open-ended nature of the game, they can easily just tack on extra islands and expand the map and try and drive up the player count and stuff like that. So I don't think the game, as it is right now, is what it's going to be like in a year from now. But, I mean, they could add a lot to it. Like we said, more world events, maybe a giant whirlpool that sucks in all the ships in the area and makes them fight over it. Maybe an island conquest where one team has to capture and hold the island. Like, stuff like that. I expected a little bit more of that instead of just go and gather, but... I mean, they're promising that they're going to continue to add content and stuff like that, and especially from a legendary developer like Rare, I think we can give them the benefit of the doubt on this one.
So that begs the next question, was do you feel like it was a little rushed out just to get Rare back out there? And like, I mean, they haven't, when was the last game they released?
Well, let me think.
Rare hasn't really released anything in a while. They did do like the Kinect sports series and stuff like that, but...
Rare.
Yeah, I was going to bring up is that I think the most recent thing they did was the Rare Replay, which I think did get them a little bit back on the top because that was a huge seller for them. It, you know, it's the retro style. You had Banjo, you had, DK. Why am I going? DK. No, not DK.
DK
64. Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark.
Star
you
Fox.
Had
Conker's,
yeah.
Just turn all the mics up.
That's when Rare was good. But I don't know. To me, it felt like they just rushed it out. They're like, hey, here's this, and let us know what you like, and we'll put it in the game after.
I think Microsoft may have kept them on a short leash on this one as well, because for a long time there, in between the heydays of Rare and now, they were just shoehorned into making Kinect sports games and motion control games, which is really not much room to work with. So,
and games like that don't count, let's be honest.
We've talked about this in a previous podcast, but I thoroughly believe the only reason Microsoft bought Rare was to take them out of competition for working for Nintendo.
Yeah, because they were making top shelf games for Nintendo.
That
easy.
Was AAA.
That was that. Yeah. But I mean, AAA price back then was like $30.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know.
Not anymore.
No.
You want a good game now, you got to fork it out. But like, if I fork it out, I expect a finished game. Not yeah. Destiny, where they're like, oh, I'm going to add some more.
Yeah.
Well, all of this MMO, I call them MMO light games, because they take like the repetitive grinding gameplay mechanics of an MMO, but without the huge player count and that sort of thing. And I think like after The Division and Destiny, and now with the not so successful Destiny 2, I think people are starting to get tired of this kind of stuff. So I'm really happy that they're saying no microtransactions, but they're going to have to prove it. Like no gameplay changing microtransactions.
I also want to touch up on something. We've all played the game now. Is this a game that you'd feel comfortable constantly playing with just random players? Or is this a game you want to more have fun with your friends?
No, I mean, you might get lucky and get a good group, but I mean, to me, I think that it's the type of game you want to, like you were talking about, Brooks, was you need your friends there. You need the feel like, oh no, we're going to hit that rock, or oh no, there's a pirate ship over there. I mean, you don't get that same feel when you're with four randoms.
Another thing is that I've always been, I come from a Dark Souls kind of GTA Online background, so I love griefing people. This seems like a perfect game to grief people, like, you know, get a random in your squad and then throw them in the brig and then sink your own ship, you know, why not? Like that kind of thing. I think that this game has enormous potential for just sailing around and, oh, there's a poor fellow in a single boat ship. Oh, let's ruin his day, you know, and for that kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff. So in that aspect, it's great, but... Yeah.
Oh, you're one of those players.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes I like taking chances with random players. We in the beta. No, was it with
Alpha?
Was it Freebird? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had three of us on a galleon, and then we had an open spot, so it threw us with some random dude. I can't remember his name, but he was just god awful. He just drank all our grog and like puked in his thing and threw it all in our faces, and we're just like, what are you doing, dude? Like, we want to just go out and play the game. Like. Yeah, so yeah, we actually ended up throwing him in the brig until he like quit and left, and then we got another new guy, and he his name was Freebird, and he was awesome. Like, he was a super good team player, and yeah, I mean, yeah, you take a chance, but there are people out there that are team players and not just trolls, right? So
yeah, I agree. Freebird was awesome. But you're not always going to find that. That is the problem. If you're a solo player and you don't want to do a two-man ship or play the game just by yourself with a single sloop or skip, I don't know, do you really want to always risk just going into like a matchmaking and getting paired with three random people?
And another point is, if you guys have ever played GTA Online and tried to match in a heist with randoms, it's insane. So I think this game requires a lot of communication and a lot of coordination and a microphone. You cannot play this game without communicating with your shipmates. So I get the feeling that a lot of 10-year-old kids are just going to screw around and not going to want to do that. So it could very well be hit and miss.
Yeah, I was going to touch up that on that as well. Like, this is a game that you definitely need a headset for. You need communication. And the problem is, as well, that people our age is going to find, just like any other game, you're going to run into a lot of younger players that are just going to scream into your mic and be unruly and ruin your day.
That's the thing too, is what type, like what age group is going to be the most people playing this game, right? Is it going to be like, you know, 10 to 16, or is it going to be 25 to 30?
On Fortnite, I got paired. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Brooke.
I was going to say, it's rated T for teen, so that gives you an idea of who's going to be playing.
Yeah, but 10-year-olds play rated M.
Oh, there,
sure,
you go.
So,
there you go.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, this is a thing from Fortnite. And, yeah, I went in on a squad match solo, and I got paired with two, like, 10-year-olds, and I'm, like, almost 30. And so the first thing that they said, they're like, you sound 30. I'm like, that's because I am. And, yeah, anyways, they were chirping me the whole match because I was 30. And then they said a very derogative thing, and then they said, I must be this because I'm 30, and I'm like, well, you have something to look forward to then. Anyways, yeah, just put them in their place. But yeah, no, I mean, they were good players. They were just chirping me hard.
I totally agree. Like, you will find some younger good players, but you could run into the ones that, like you, they're still good, but they're just, like, having fun at your expense. But another problem, like Brooks just mentioned, is the game is rated teen. But no one even cares. Like, parents will go out and buy their 10-year-old a mature game. If they, like, ESRB, the rating just doesn't matter anymore. And that is the problem, I think, that we deal with as a generation.
Yeah, I mean, and even the ESRB putting their 2 cents in about the loot boxes that we talked about a while ago, it they're not really helping anymore. It's not going to make a difference. Yeah, so, you know, they got to... If they want, not that it matters, like if parents want to buy their 10-year-old kid Sea of Thieves or Grand Theft Auto, then sure. I mean, that's the parents' choice, I guess, right? So
one thing I'm starting to realize is that time with Sea of Thieves, time is going to tell how this game is going to perform, because they have set it up for the long haul by saying, oh, there's going to be no game unbalancing microtransactions. You know, we're going to be just cosmetic. So that's setting it up that people can play a long time and never become so overpowered that they can just wreck anybody's face off. So then it could be a game that people play for years down the road. Or it could, like you guys said earlier, just could be a flavor of the month kind of thing. I guess only time will tell.
Going back, how did you actually find the combat? Like, when you're actually swinging a sword and shooting your gun, I kind of found it, I don't know, like, a little laggy, a little, like, off-putting.
It felt very, for, to me personally, I didn't get to use all the weapons, but it felt pretty clunky in the gameplay mechanics, like just straight side strafing and swinging your sword left to right, clunk, 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 and then your target's dead. Like, I feel like it was like Skyrim level, and Skyrim's an 8-year-old game now.
Yeah, the sword's garbage. I'll just say that right now. The sword was absolute garbage. I hate it. You can only swing like twice in 5 seconds, and then there's like 8 like skeletons just wrecking you, and you're like, great. I like the blunderbuss and the sniper rifle combo, but the issue with that is like, I consistently run out of ammunition, and then you have to run back to your ship. So I basically am the ship guy guarding all the stuff, but then I just snipe and blunderbuss and cannon and all that, but then I have the ammo box reserve, so I can keep adding to my reserve ammunition inventory.
Another thing I'm wondering, do you think the game plays better as a first person, or would this have been better as a third?
I think it's better as a first person. especially in the helm position, because then you really have to rely on your crew to really look out for you. Because if it was just like Assassin's Creed was third person, you could look all the way around your ship and see how far away you were from rocks and all that kind of ship stuff. But now it's forcing you to into this team environment where you have to communicate with each other and look out for each other.
I kind of wished you had the option to go from first person to third person, but I do agree with what you say is when you're driving the ship, it should be first person because you can't see past that flag, which is, you're right, you really need to rely on your crew at that point.
I mean, in terms of immersion, I think keeping it first person perspective makes sense. They have some person on the helm, they have some person doing the sails, they have some person doing the anchor. So I think, I mean, if they're going for immersion, first person is really the only way to go in terms of that.
All right, guys. So Sea of Thieves came out on Tuesday, but we all didn't really get to play until today because we all work full-time jobs like probably everybody else. But how much time do you guys see yourselves investing in this game moving forward?
Well, right now I am a little hooked. I definitely going to play a bit more tonight, hopefully tomorrow. Moving forward to this week, probably not. Work is going to be the only thing on my mind. But, you know, next weekend, who knows? It all depends what I feel like playing and if I can find friends that want to play with me.
Oh, definitely. I'll dedicate a few more hours to it, like during the week and on the weekend. It's not something I'm just going to totally give up on. But, yeah, for now, I'd like to see them add more. And if they do, then they'll probably keep my attention.
I mean, for me as it stands right now, there's really not enough to keep me hooked. I need friends to play this game with. So if my buddies are going to keep playing it and I have fun people to play with, I'm going to play it. But as soon as my buddies start trickling off, I can't see myself playing this on my own. Or, yeah.
Are you not considering us friends? Or, like, what's going on here?
You got to take me to dinner first.
Yeah. All right. So what DLC, I guess we've talked about DLC a couple times, but is there one specific thing that Rare could put in that would like literally hook you for the next month or so? Like the Kraken's a good example. I haven't met the Kraken yet in the game, but it sounds like a lot of fun anyway.
I'd actually really like them to implement some part of, or maybe full on, but episodic story. I don't think they can add a full story mode right now. It's too late in the game, but there's no saying that they couldn't add maybe episodic.
Also, one thing I'm interested in is why don't we see any ships bigger than four players? I mean, they could have theoretically a ship that could like 8, 12, even up to 40, because some of the Man of Wars are massive. So if you wanted to have a large scale, huge battle between huge teams, maybe even a fleet or that sort of thing, that's something that I would like to see.
That's a real interesting point, especially like a 20-man ship where everyone's got their specific role and you're all trying to... I mean, maybe the communication might get a little drowned out with 20 people trying to talk over each other, so I don't know how you'd work that out, but...
Well, the captain talks, basically. Like, whoever they designate as the captain be like, hey, here's what's going on, and then you just do it.
Yeah, I would love to see that. And, like, that's the endless... And that's what's kind of intriguing about Sea of Thieves, because we're talking about them all right now. These possibilities are endless. Let's just get them in the game already.
One thing I do want to see kind of in the first 3-month update is introducing fleets. Like, obviously, there's a 4-person galleon, but what if you have, like, 6 friends or 8 friends? Why can't you guys just join the server at the same time on 2 separate ships and then sail and do the same... quests and or maybe not do quests at all, just go and find like the one lone galleon and then like take him out with 2 ships. Like, that'd be so badass.
Yeah, go in raiding. Yeah, I totally agree. That would be awesome.
Another thing I'd like to see them implement is quest rewards. Yes, we get gold, we get level XP and stuff like that, but can you imagine maybe tracking down like a big ship or something? And you get a cosmetic item that changes the look of your ship. Like, I think it'll just add more depth.
I think that speaks to the general lack of meaningful progression in this game. I mean, you basically just get numbers that scale up with a little XP bar and that's it. There's no real meaningful, like, I know they want to keep it balanced, but like, can I at least find something that makes me feel like I accomplished something instead of just like, here's some gold to buy on cosmetics.
Yeah, like we were talking about the progression bar. I know when you get all of them, all three, the merchant, the bounty hunter, and then the treasure hunter, all to 15, you become a legendary pirate. Well, what does that give you? Like, I'd like to see if you got a if you became a legendary pirate, your ship got like an upgrade. Cosmetic wise, that would be way better.
Or if that then unlocked story events like, okay, now you can go here because you're a legendary pilot and you can handle yourself kind of thing, you know, right?
Yeah, that would be cool. And just adding to Will's point is the ship upgrades. Those ships look crap when you first start.
They look meh.
The water looks phenomenal, but the ships look kind of goofy.
I'm playing on the regular Xbox, and I know Mark is too. Brooks, what are you playing it on?
I have an Xbox One S. So.
And I know Will has a Xbox One X, because he needs all the latest and greatest nitty and gritty stuff.
I'm going to have to see how it looks again to compare it to like the normal edition. I know when I handed Mark my old Xbox today, I forgot I've been playing that on Sea of Thieves, so I had a 20 gigabyte update I had to do on my X today before I got a chance to play it. But if we were talking about graphic-wise, I bet you anything, the sky, the lights, the sea, just look a lot better, more crisp on the X.
All right, guys, we should wrap this up here. So, Will, you got any last comment to say about Sea of Thieves?
Right now, the game, as we talked about before, for $80, it's not a game I would purchase, or at least it's not a game I would hold on to. I'd definitely trade it in. Talking about it being available with Game Pass, now that's a different story. It's a game I'll keep playing for that.
I mean, yeah, Game Pass, $11 a month. Why not have it for a few months? You can cancel it, try it out again later. As of right now, maybe you could just wait on Sea of Thieves to see what's on the horizon, because as of right now, there's not enough to do to keep you interested.
All right, great. And Brooks, I'm sure you got some sort of newsy bits for this week. You want to share us what you know here?
I just wanted the closing thing on this game. I think, you know, this game is great if you want to goof around with friends, and it's not trying to be overly ambitious, but at the same time, I think it needs to be a little bit more ambitious. I expect more from Rare, especially with the AAA price tag. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Thanks for listening to the VGN podcast. Remember to like, share, and subscribe. Can't talk today, apparently. To our Facebook page, our Twitter, Google+, and Instagram. And also definitely check us out on YouTube, where we have top 10 videos, discussions, and more. And we would really like to know what you guys think. Leave us some comments and give us a shout out on Facebook. And check out our new website, brand new website, videogamesnow.ca, or videogamesnow, as it commonly looks. But thanks a lot again, guys, for checking us out, and we will see you all on the next one.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.